message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
We are very grateful to God for all that He has done for us as a church and as individuals. And I know that tonight, no one will go back the same in Jesus' name. I would have still wanted us to do a little bit of worship and praise, but the outline is a little bit long, and I want to do justice to it because we are shutting down on this series, Gateways to Outstanding Future, today. This is part four, Gateways to Outstanding Future, part four. I'll do a brief rundown of what we have been teaching since the month started in our midweek services under the caption, Gateways to Outstanding Future. We looked at the very first day, the part one, at the gateways that can help a person to access a future. And we said, before we go into that, we said that the future is more important than your past. Your future is what should actually interest you more than your past, because that is where the treasure lies. And we said, for you to access a future, you must possess a vision for a good future. You must have a vision for your future. You must have a vision for your future. You must have something you are thinking of towards that future. Secondly, we said, if you want to enter into that future, you must be prayerful. Someone say prayerful. And of course, we said you must possess a plan, a strategy, so that you can avoid tragedy. For you to be able to access the colorful future, the great future that God has for you, you must work with God to come up with the strategy, the plan that will make that happen. And in the second teaching, we looked at dimensions of planning, because we just talked of planning, that planning and strategy is very important for you to access your future. And we said in the teaching that there are four dimensions of planning to be successful. The first one we looked at is personal planning. You must have a personal plan for yourself, a personal plan for your life. Of course, number two, we said you must have a plan for your family. You must have a plan for your family. Once your wife is pregnant, you begin to prepare for her to deliver little by little, gradually by gradually. Once your children enter school, you begin to prepare for them little by little. Once you have a family, you begin to prepare for where they are going to live, either a rented apartment or you are going to buy a land and begin to build little by little or gradually as God has helped you. You must have a plan for your family. And of course, number three, dimension of planning, we looked at organizational planning. If you are working in an organization or you have a company or you are a staff of a company, you must have a plan. When you go to businesses where there's no plan, you see that things are upside down. Things are upside down. Everybody is doing what is not supposed to do because there's no plan. There's no organogram. Nobody knows who is the manager or who is the damager. Everybody's just doing anything. Everywhere is scattered because there's no plan in the organization. And so organizations where you go where there's a plan, there's a succession plan, there's a plan for promotion, there's a plan for salary reviews, there's a plan for appreciation of those that have excelled, those organizations outlive their founders. Every organization that will be successful must have it. And number four, dimension of planning that we looked at is national planning. This is for those who are in government and those who are in areas of influence. You are in government or you are in an area where you can influence the society. You must be able to plan. You plan for the local government. You plan for the state. You plan for your ministry, your parastatal, where you have been placed there as a steward. Every nation that does not have a plan will end up in disaster. And I said last week, or maybe upper week, that one of the major things that has affected our nation is because of lack of planning. There's no plan. There's no plan. One of my beloved here traveled and we're talking, and the person was telling me, and several people also that traveled in the last 2-3 weeks have been telling me about the road, how bad our roads have become in the nation. Very terrible, because there's no plan. A good nation has a 7-year plan, 20 years plan, 50 years plan, 100 years plan. A nation, a ministry, a parastatal, an organization that has no plan will eventually face crisis. And when you don't have a plan, you spend every resources that comes to your hand as a nation, you blow it up. You buy all sorts of exotic things for present day politicians to the detriment of children that are just coming up. So when those ones come, they have nothing left. And then the country goes into borrowing. And then they go as sorrowing. But I pray for you in the name of in our lifetime, you and I, this nation shall be transformed. I say in our lifetime, this nation shall be transformed. Did I hear you say big amen? When a nation has no plan, then for 3, 4 days, 5 days, there's no light. Put something in the freezer, it is destroyed. And when the light comes, it comes with so much velocity, it spoils your freezer and your fridge instantaneously. Oh my God. Lack of planning is a destroyer. But as for you, in the name of Jesus, God will give you the grace to plan well in Jesus' name. And of course, last week, we looked at effective tools for planning. What are the tools that is used for planning? And number one, I said, write down your plan for the future. Write down a plan. It can be big. Write it down. And I said last week that if your plan does not scare you, it's not a plan. Write down big plan. You are trusting God for your children. Write down great things you are trusting for the future. The kind of house you want to build. The kind of husband you want to get married to. The kind of wife you want to get married to. Write it down. Write down your plan. The Bible says in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2, write the vision. Make it plain upon the table that it might run that read it. So it's important to write down the plan. Number two, we talked about last week for tools for effective planning is learn to think, have a mental picture of the future. Learn to think, always think. God was speaking. He said, come, let us reason together. If God can reason, how much more human beings like you and I? If God himself can say, come, let us reason together. Let us think. And I quoted the scripture also in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. Through wisdom, a man, having sat down, thinketh and intermeddleth with all wisdom. We must learn to think. We must learn to think. Number three, tool for effective planning is depend on the Holy Spirit for your future. Depend on the Holy Spirit for direction. Somebody say direction. Depend on the Holy Spirit for direction. Without the Holy Spirit, we are helpless as believers. And number four, tool for effective planning is separate yourself from evil. Separate yourself from evil and evil people. You will most likely become like your friends. When you see my friends, you will know why I'm like this. When you see my friends, you will know why I behave the way I behave. When you see my friends, you will say, I know, I understand where he's from. You will most likely become like your friends. Your life will most likely become like your friend's life. That's why you can't just befriend anybody. Separate yourself from evil. Separate yourself from evil people. People that have no conscience. Separate yourself from them. Number five, tool for effective planning is avoid procrastination. And number six is be prayerful. And number seven is be ruled by the word of God. The journey has been very far, and to God alone be all the glory. Somebody blessed so far, shout a big hallelujah. Tonight, we are going into Gateways to an Outstanding Future, part 4. And I'll set out right about now. In life, nothing good happens by accident. Anywhere you hear accident, it's not something good that happened there. Accident is never something good. So entering into a good future is not an accident. No. There is what to do. There are steps to take. And we have said so much since this teaching started on this, on many other areas. But tonight, we'll be, as God will give us the time, because time is moving very fast, we'll be looking at a few more gateways that can help us to enter into
an outstanding future.
Last week, about 2 weeks ago, we talked about the fact that for you to enter into a future, you have to have a mental picture for your future. And I said think. But today, I want to start by saying you have to think properly. Somebody say think properly. Somebody say think properly. I can't hear you. Please say it loud and clear. Think proper. There's a proper way to think if you want to have a good future. You are a reflection of your thoughts. The last time, about 2 weeks ago, I said you should think. But this time I'm saying think properly. Because you will eventually become what you think. Your life will become in the future what you are thinking now. The way you are thinking now is what will affect your life in the future. Your thinking either opens or closes your future. Negative thinking brings negative future. Positive thinking brings you into a positive future. That's why you must not think death. That's why you must not think failure. That's why you must not concentrate on carryover. That's why your thought must not be on negativities, but on positivities. Can I shock you? God answers thoughts of the heart. Why you are still thinking, you have not said it out, but you are just thinking it, God will answer the prayer. That's how God works. He's only man that you have to ask him, please give me something, before he will give it to you. God, before you even say that thought of your heart, he can view it. And that's why Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So don't allow negative thought. Think properly. You can't access a future you have not thought about. You can't enter into a future you have never dreamt about. And that's why without a dream, you are doomed. You must have a dream. And that dream, you keep on thinking about it. You keep on thinking about that great future. You must deliberately think right if you want things to go right. You deliberately. That's why the Bible says, when the enemy shall come like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise a standard against them. When the bad thought comes to you that you might not deliver safely or that there might be complication, you nullify it immediately. You kill it technically. Think properly. Somebody came to me some time ago, maybe about 2-3 years ago, and spoke to me about a particular challenge that involves masturbation. And I said, masturbation is a product of your thought. It's because you stay in an environment. I asked the person, I said, can you masturbate in public? Then she said no. I said, okay. So if you cannot do that in public, it shows you that it's a particular thing that happens when you are confined to a particular place. The person said yes. I said, okay. Most of the time when this wants to happen, you have to switch off the light. Yes or no? The person said yes. I said, then you have to think like you're having sex with somebody and then that thing goes on. The person said yes. I said, good. Now this is the solution. Change that thought. When the thought comes to you and you are in the dark, switch on the light. Think of something else. Isn't it your heart? Isn't it your mind? You are in control. Think of something else. If it's inside the bathroom that the thought catches you with, and soap is already on your body, if you run out of the bathroom like that, if you live alone, if not, quickly rush water on your head and run out, the thought will disappear. A lot of things we think we are not in control of, we are in control of it. We are just not ready to take responsibility for it. And so the enemy says, okay, you're about to sleep now. So let me bring that thought. And then the thought comes. And then that thought begins to come. And then when you allow it to stay, in medicine, there's something they call something metastasized, spread. When cancer starts with just a little bit like this, And they say it metastasizes, it is spreading. It begins to spread from other to other organs. Thoughts, evil thoughts, starts with something small. When you allow it to stay, then it begins to spread. It begins to spread. It begins to spread until it gains ground. In your life, evil thoughts will never gain ground. I say in your life, evil thoughts will never gain ground. If you want to go into a good future, learn to think properly. Immediately that thought comes that your future will not be all right, negate it. And that takes me to the next thing that we'll be talking about tonight. I said number one that we are looking at tonight on Gateway to an outstanding future is that you should think properly. Number two is to talk properly. In Mark chapter 11 verse 23, Mark 11 23, the Bible says, whosoever, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He saith. He saith. So your future is at the mercy of your saying. Your future is at the mercy of your words. Show me somebody who is greater than his words. I've never seen the person. You must be able to talk. You talk into your future. You talk yourself into that future. I'm a first-class student. I know it. I know it. I'm getting married very soon. I know it. And you don't have anybody that you are courting yet. I just know it. It's happening very soon. All of you here, you are coming to eat rice with me. All of you. And people are looking at you there. That will say, he said those things that be not. As what? As though they were. So if you really want to enter into your future, you talk properly. You must know that your words are very important to God. You need to cleanse your tongue from evil utterances. There are some people, they have BSc in evil utterances. BSc in evil utterances. Every time you see them, you always say something negative. Please be careful so that you don't copy them. Any man or woman that wants to enter a good future must learn how to. It's not boasting. Sometimes I come here and I say, I can see how your future will look like. I know how your future will look like. It's not that it's not boasting. I know it, that it will be great. I know it. That's what I can see. But you need to join your faith with me to make it happen. One of our beloved daughters who went for service last year called me today. Before she left, she said, I know they will retain me wherever I serve. Today she called me. And I said, how's everything? You finish service now? I said, they have retained me where I serve. As you say it, heaven just speaks it. And today, every single thing you say with your mouth, heaven will make it happen for you in Jesus' name. You know what happens to us a lot of times when we say it and we don't see it instantly? We think it's not working. It's not true. Many times when we say something and that thing doesn't happen instantly, we think that it didn't happen. It has happened. And ego must happen. Ego must happen. It must happen. You said it and you didn't see it physically and instantaneously. Does not mean that it won't happen. It's just a matter of time. It can happen today. It can happen tomorrow. It can happen one month. It can happen. But it will happen in the name of Jesus. I say it will happen in the name of Jesus. The children of Israel made a very terrible mistake. Very terrible mistake. In Numbers chapter 14, verse 28 to 30. They were speaking negatively. When they have small challenges, just like many of us, when we have small challenges, you begin to talk negatively. They said they want to go back. Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in my ears, exactly the way you said it, that you want, we don't even care. We want to perish here. Moses, why did you come and deliver us? Eh? To come and suffer? Eh? What kind of nonsense is this? Is this how your God wants to save us? God said, say unto them, as they truly are there, as I live, said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ear, so will I do. Go on, beloved. Your carcasses shall in all this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless he shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Jephthah, and Joshua, the son of Nun. This will never be your portion in Jesus' name. After God called Moses in Exodus chapter 3, you know the story very well. And God said to him, Moses, I'm going to use you to save the children of Israel. And the Bible says that he went to them and said, this is what God has told me, that he wants to deliver us from 430 years of slavery. And then they followed him. Of course, you should know that challenges will come in life. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord will deliver him from what? From them all. God never promised us that as a Christian that you never have a challenge. God never for once said, if you are saved, he said, Matthew 11, verse 28 and 29, say, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. He said, I will give you rest. He didn't say that you never have any issue. No. What he's saying is that when you come to me, I will solve your problem. He didn't say that your life will be devoid of any challenges. Even Jesus, they gave him vinegar. They put a crown of thorns on his head. They flogged him. They did a lot of things to him. How much more you and I? What about Apostle Paul? See all the kind of things that he went through. But what are we saying? No matter what, don't speak against your destiny. Don't speak against your marriage. Don't speak against your business. God said, as they have said it, that they are not happy that I brought them out of wilderness. They are even regretting it. That, some people will change jobs. God instructed them to change job. Immediately they change the job, maybe 1, 2, 3 months or 1 year, things are not working well. Honestly, I even regret it. I even ever regret that I obeyed this. Am I even sure that it's God that even told me to even leave this job for another job? This business, I should have even stayed with the former job that I was before than to start a business. And God said, okay, as you have said it, I've given it to you like that. That's what kills a lot of businesses. But when the challenges come, you say, I still believe in God. I know God cannot fail me. I know it. My Redeemer liveth. He cannot put me to shame. He spoke to me to start this business. He spoke to me to start this work. He is with me. He cannot abandon me. Somebody say a big amen. That's how to speak. If you really want to assess a future, don't kill your marriage before the time with your mouth. Don't kill your business before the time. Let them be talking or let it look as if your enemies are rejoicing over you. That's their own cup of tea. Their rejoicing is temporary. Hello. It's a temporary rejoicing. Micah chapter 7 verse 8. Rejoice not over me, my enemies, for when I fall, I will rise again. Let them be doing their own dancing. Your own dancing will last forever. Their own dancing is short-timed. Did I hear you say amen? Your amen is not born again. The rejoicing of your enemies over you is just for a short time. It's just for a little while. Now, when your own rejoicing will come, it will last eternity. Did I hear you say a big amen? And because of that, everybody that was 20 years upward died in the wilderness because they spoke wrongly. Everyone except Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb. Everybody that raised his mouth and said, oh God, I regret it. Or nonsense. Are you sure it really pays to serve God? Despite all the way, serving God. See what God has even done. Somebody that is not even serving God is even doing. Please, beloved, never say such. Never say such. As long as you are still on this earth, anybody that's overtaking you, that has gone ahead of you, you can still overtake them. The Bible says there's hope for a tree. If it be what? Cut down, it will sprout again. So as long as you are, it's when you are not living that we say, okay, oh, that is it. But you are still on this earth. There's hope for you. Somebody say there's hope for me. So don't murmur. If you want to enter into an understanding future, don't murmur. Don't murmur. Don't murmur. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 10, neither you murmur as others murmured. And we're destroyed by the destroyer. Now we are going to number 3 point for tonight on this part 4 of Gateways to Understanding Future. Number 3 is pay your vows and your pledges. If you really want to enter into a standing future. Numbers 30 verse 2. Numbers chapter 30 verse 2. If a man vow a vow unto the Lord, or swear an oath to bind his soul with a bond, he shall not break his word. He shall do according to all that proceeded out of his mouth. Now, I want to say this to you, beloved. A lot of times when we are in hardship, we make vows. A lot of times when we need something desperately from God, you need an admission, you make a vow. You need a husband, you make a vow. You need visa. You want to go to the embassy to collect visa. You make a vow to God. Many other things. You want to do an exam. And then one of the courses is very tough. Maybe biology. Maybe chemistry. Maybe further maths. Say, God, if I can pass these courses, I vow that this is what I'm going to do. The Bible says it's better for us not to vow at all than to vow. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 5. Ecclesiastes 5 verse 5. It's better for you not to vow at all. He said, better is it that thou should not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. God did not force us to vow. So when we make a vow, it's not something you can delay. It's something that we must do with immediate alacrity. This is what is affecting many people from accessing their future. It's better for a believer not to open his mouth and say, God, if you do this for me, I will do this for you. If you do this, you see, as people, as human beings, we tend to forget things a lot. But listen, God never forgets. Either it was written in a sheet of paper, either it was said in words, or it was said in prayer. Father, this issue, this matter, if you settle it, even as little as saying it, that God, if you do it, I'll give testimony publicly, and you don't do it. The thing just happened, he just pocket it. God, I thank you, sir. Thank you very much. I'm grateful. Then God will say, what about our agreement? You said when I do it, you will publicly say to all the world that I bless you. But what happened now? I'm shy. You are shy. Okay, I won't be shy then to take it back from you. But I pray for somebody here today. The mercy of God will prevail in Jesus' name. I said the mercy of God will prevail in Jesus' name. We sometimes pledge. And we think that is the end of the pledge. Now, listen to me. A vow or a pledge is a promise to do or to give something in the future. That's what they call a vow. A vow or a pledge is a promise that I will do. Now, there's nothing we pledge or vow to God that he doesn't have. There's nothing that we pledge that is a problem to God. God is not hungry. God is not thirsty. God doesn't need clothes. God doesn't need money. He's a blessed man. But when we make a vow, we are just trying to make him know that we are desperate and that we need his attention. Immediately he does it, we are obligated. Someone say obligated. We are obligated to do what we have vowed. We are obligated to do what we have vowed. I remember I did a little bit of law of contract in the school while in the polytechnic and the university, even in ICANN. And I know that if you have a contract with somebody and the person breaches the contract, you can sue the person. Am I right? You can sue the person. Now, God doesn't have any cause he's going to sue the person, a human being too. But that can even make the devil to make that person to be hindered from our blessings. Your destiny will not be hindered. You will not use your own mouth to hinder yourself. Don't be pushed. Don't let anybody push you to vow something that you cannot do. Don't let anybody push you. When it's time to make a vow, or you made it yourself, or a call was made, don't allow anybody to push you to vow something that is beyond what you cannot do. A vow is something that you know that this thing, I will do it as God helps me. And tonight, maybe that word is just for one person or two. As you do the needful, the Lord will also take you into a higher future in Jesus' name. I've worked with God a lot in the areas of this, in this particular area. And it has been a major area to which I've worked with God over the years in many areas and many aspects. I remember very well many years ago, very many years ago. I can't remember, maybe about 2005 or so. I can't remember exactly around that time. In our church, they were doing a building project in the church I was attending at that time. And then they said we should vow our salary for a particular month, everybody in the church. And I remember that vow was done, was redeemed. And the person, one of my friends, that we worked together in the same bank, I was working in a bank called Guarantee Trust Bank at that time. My colleague was making fun of me. He said, your brain is frozen. All these pastors, they are frozen your brain. So you are telling me that this salary that we just collected today, now you give it to church or to God. I can't believe it. These pastors, if you use your brain, your brain is dead. I laughed. Today, by God's grace and by God's privilege, that person is a big man. He's a big man today, but I can pay him. I can pay him without even blinking an eye. I'll pay him and I'll not even look at it. You see, when you walk with God at that realm, you become a person that God loves. You become God's favorite. See, don't envy people. Find out their secrets. Don't envy anybody. Say, this person, find out what are they doing that's making God to bless them. What are they doing? What kind of life did they live? For somebody here today, as you walk with God consistently, it will show in your life. I say it will show in your life. I say it will show in your life. Did I hear you say a big amen? Did I hear you say a big amen? Did I hear you say a big amen? Number four that we'll be looking at tonight on Gateways to Outstanding Future, part four, is be patient. Somebody say be patient. If you want to enter into your outstanding future, be patient. Galatians chapter 6 verse 9. And let us not be weary in well doing, for in due season you will reap it. You will get it if you faint not. Somebody say a big amen. Be patient. If you want to enter your future, please be patient. As I was driving to church this evening, I was showing somebody that we were in the car together. I was showing the person what happened. You know, by God's grace, I'm a very observant person. I pick things fast. If I'm going like everything, I've already seen it. I was coming to church, and then a jeep, black jeep, like all these governors kind of jeep. They cover the number front, they cover the black, everywhere tinted. He just stopped at a particular point and dropped two girls, young girls, maybe like kind of university kind of girls. They were both in spaghetti, very well endowed everywhere from head to toe, and they dropped them. They just opened the door, and came out and staggered like this with your bag just this evening. Why did they do such things? They want an outstanding future, but they are in a hurry. They want a future, but they can't wait for that future. They can't wait to enter into an outstanding future. Maybe they've been there now since weekend. They say, go and drop them, Joe. Maybe they give them 250,000 or 200,000, 100,000. Maybe even 10,000. Pizza. Wonderful. Pizza. So because of pizza, you piss your life away. Oh no. Someone say, God forbid. God forbid. God forbid. Let us not be weary. If you want to enter into a future, it's not an overnight job. A wise man said, overnight success takes minimum of 10 years. A wise man. He said, if you, this man just became successful. It takes minimum 10 years before overnight success. Please be patient. We are in a fast world. We are in an Indomie world. Everybody wants a pa. Graduate from school in July. Go for service. By November, maybe maybe you enter service. 2 months into service like this, just come out with a Prado Jeep. Is that how it works? Do you buy Prado Jeep with 19,005 Alawi? If you want a future,
be patient for it.
God is never slow. That's what the book of 2 Thessalonians tells us. He said, God is not slack. God is not a slack God. But you must pursue him tenaciously enough to know that he will answer you. And in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, God will answer all your petitions in Jesus' name. Listen to me. Mark it. And I say this before God. I say this before God that created you and I. There is nobody in this world that made it in a crooked way that will be greater than you. Huh? You didn't get that. I said there's nobody who made it in a crooked way. There's none of your friend who went through corner bad ways in a bad way that will be able to make it greater than you. Let it be looking as if they are doing so well today. Sooner than you think. Someone say sooner than you think. Sooner than you think, you'll be amazed and surprised that God is going to do something great in your life in Jesus' name. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. The Bible says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. God is not slack, as some people count slackness. He's not a slow God. He's not slack in his matters. And in the name of Jesus, quick, fast, it will speed up your promotion. Your father, my father, will speed up your promotion. He will eradicate delay in your life. So be patient to reap what you are working for now. Be patient to reap all the years of your labor. Be patient. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Hebrews 10, 36. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. My prayer for somebody here today is that you will reap it in Jesus' name. For you have need of patience. After that you have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise. After you have done God's will, the next thing is to wait for his promise. After you have decided not to follow a black Land Cruiser because of Pisa, like it was said in the choir area, that sometimes it's because of Pisa. Can't believe it. You that you are a producer, you are a peculiar person. You that you are somebody that is beyond human comprehension. Now go and spend 5-6 days in somebody that's because of Pisa. God forbid. Because of time, let's move very fast. And I think I'll just take one more because time has gone. I'll cut off the others. I'll just take one more before we close. Gateways to an outstanding future is don't ever give up. Don't ever give up. If you are going to enter into a great future, don't ever give up on your dreams. Don't ever give up on what God has placed in your heart. Don't ever give up on what God has put in your heart as a dream. It's not a coincidence that you are thinking of a great future. You have been programmed to think of great future. That is how God programmed your life. It's not a mistake that you are thinking of a better life. That is how God programmed us as human beings. I would say that the path of the just like a shining light, shining one. It's not a bad thing. You are not carnal to be thinking that your life will be better. It's not carnality. But please, when problem comes, when challenges comes, don't ever give up on your dreams. Listen to me. There's one part of the body of a Christian that there is no cover for. And that is where? The back. There's every other part of your body, there is cover for it. There's helmet of salvation. There's breastplate of righteousness. Every part of your body, back, no cover for the back. You get up, you go and read it in Ephesians chapter 6. I don't have the time to go into that now. You are everywhere is body back. Once you turn your back, there's nothing God can do. God says you have given up. But as for you, you will never give up in Jesus' name. I say you will never give up in Jesus' name. Did I hear you say a big amen? Don't give up on your dreams. Don't give up. on all that God has placed in your heart and in your mind to achieve. And I say that in the name of Jesus, the grace to be successful, the Lord will release unto you in the name of Jesus. Let me just read a little bit of that. It says, stand there for Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14. And I'll be reading from, let me start from verse 13. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians 6, 13. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil days. That's challenging days. Everybody has his own share. Please, hold on. Just leave that scripture there. Let me say something quickly. Somebody will say, how come pastors always have people to pray for? Because different people's days of challenges are different from each other. Hello? The days of challenge of one person is different from another. So that's why we continually have work to do. So once we finish the battle of somebody, we join our faith together. Another person's time comes. We join our faith with that person again. Another person comes. Oh, it's like... All right, let's go on. Evil day. And having done all, stand. Now, let's start from verse 14. Stand therefore. Someone say, stand therefore. That's how to enter into a good future. Stand therefore. Don't give up. That's what it means. If you read some verses, say, don't give up. He says, stand therefore, having the loin, having your loins girt with the breast, with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Go on, please. And your foot shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Foot also covered. Above all, taking the shield of faith. That's your shield. To cover your chest. Above all, taking the shield of faith. Wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So all the part of the believer is... But when you turn your back, God can't help you. That's why when the next challenge comes, you don't turn your back. I say, take the helmet of salvation. Your head. Salvation. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So every part of the believer is covered. Only your back. Don't give up. You failed yesterday. Rise again. You started a business and it died. Rise again. You are still young. At 30, at 40, rise up. Rise up. Take your journey. Rise up. Take your journey. Rise up. Take your journey. Don't allow anything to quench you on this level. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Don't stop there. My prayer for you tonight is that that future that you are dreaming of and that God has put in your heart, you will not turn your back against it in Jesus' name. That future, that great business you have started from little like this, and you can see a future. The name of Jesus, you will never turn your back on it. That path you are towing, that good path you are towing, you will never turn your back on it. You will never turn your backs on it. The grace to move on to that outstanding future until you get there and you are establishing it. Receive that grace today. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Rise up on your feet. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. If you are clapping for Jesus, I believe you can clap better than that. Oh my God. Is that the best you can do?
My God is good, oh.
My God is good.
Oh, hey.
give him praise and thank him for the word he has sent to you and I today. Thank him. Thank him. Give him praise, everybody. Magnify him. Thank him. Thank him, thank him, thank him, thank him. Give him praise, give him glory, give him honor. Thank him, thank him, thank him. Thank him, appreciate him for everything he has done for you, everybody. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Give him all the glory, give him all the honor. Mighty, 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 mighty God. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. I've spoken from my heart to you tonight as God has led me. The next thing for you now is to pray with passion. I will also be praying because every one of us has a future. Our Bible says in Matthew 11 verse 12, since the days of Edonte, since the days of John the Baptist, the kingdom of God suffered violence. Only the violence can take it. And you will take it in Jesus' name. You will take your future in the name of Jesus. You will say, Father, empower me to enter into my outstanding future. To enter into my outstanding future. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Pray, everybody. Raise your voice. Raise your voice. Raise your voice. Raise your voice. I must enter into this future. I must enter into this future. Pray, 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 pray into your future. Nothing can cut short my future. Nothing can stop me from entering into this future. Nothing can debar me from entering into this future. Help me, Lord, to enter into my future. I can see the future. I must get there. I can see that future. The future of being married. The future of having children. The future of a great life. The future of a great career. The future of a great ministry. The future of blessing and prosperity. I must enter it. I must enter this future. I must enter this future. I must enter this future. Take me there. Father, take me into this future. The future of grace. The future of favor. The future of success. The future of service. The future of development. Take me there. Take me there. Take me into that great future. Jesus' mighty name we are praying. One of the major things that hinders us from accessing our future is courage. It takes a lion heart to possess a lion share. Until you possess that heart of courage, the future might not be able to be accessed. Tonight we are going to pray to God, Father, strengthen my heart to progress into the future. Strengthen my heart. I must not be weak. Strengthen me, oh God. Give me courage. Lift your voice and pray, everybody. Pray, 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 pray. Everybody, lift your voice. Give me courage. Courage, courage. courage I need, the strength I need, the vitality I need to enter into my future. Father, release it to me. The strength I need, the grace I need, the capacity I need, the unction I need. Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. One of the major hindrances to the great future, like I said earlier, is bad thoughts or negative thoughts. Negative thoughts like fear, like discouragement, like bitterness. We are going to pray and say, Father, wipe away from my heart, my spirit, every negative thought. Every negativity, turn them to positivity. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Begin to pray. Father, remove every negative thought from my heart.
Touch my body, my soul, my spirit, breathe on me. Touch my body, my soul, my spirit, breathe on me. Lay your hands on me, dear Lord.
Lay your hands on me,
dear Lord.
Lay your hands on me,
dear Lord. Breathe on me.
Touch my body, my soul, my spirit.
Touch my body, my soul. My spirit,
breathe on me. Touch my body, touch my soul, touch my
heart, my body, my soul. My spirit, breathe on me.
Lay your hands on me.
Lay your hands on me.
Pray, Father, touch my spirit. Cleanse my heart from bitterness, from fear. Pray, everybody. It's a prayer time. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we are praying. You will say, Father, touch my tongue with the coal of your fire, that I might never speak negative words again that can affect my future. Lift your voice and begin to pray. Touch my tongue with the coal of your fire. Purge my tongue of negative utterances. Purge my tongue of negative utterances. Touch my tongue, oh God. Purge my tongue of negative utterances. Pray, everybody, pray. Purge my tongue. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name, we are praying. You will say, Father, Father, I receive the grace for patience to obtain the promises. I receive the grace, oh God, for patience. Lift your voice and pray. I receive the grace. I must not run faster than my God. I receive the spirit of patience. Father, bestow upon me the grace to be patient for you. Pray. Pray. I receive that spirit of patience.
Thank you, Father. Blessed be thy name. Before we go a step further, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. You are here tonight, or you are watching us on the internet from anywhere in the world, and you are saying to me, Pastor, I really want to enter into my future. I don't want anything to stop me. And I heard that salvation is very important to access a great future. Please pray with me. Please pray with me. Pray with me for more grace. Pray with me. I want to drop my past habits. I want to drop anything that does not glorify God in my life. I want God to help me to enter into my future. I don't want my past to affect my future. I want to pray with you. I'll be counting from 1 to 3. All you need to do is to lift your hand above your head where I can see it, and then I can pray with you. 1. You are saying to me, Pastor, pray with me. Pray with me. I want to rededicate my life to Christ tonight. Also, you are here. You want to rededicate. That is, you have given your life to Christ before, but you want to rededicate. That is, you want to like start afresh with God again. Just lift it up above your head where I can see, and I will be praying with you. And God will be touching you just where you are right now in the name of Jesus. Also, you are watching us on the internet. You want us to pray with you. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. You want to ask God for mercy. You want God to have mercy on you. You want God to cleanse you. You are not a bad person. I'm not saying you are a bad person, but as I'm talking, you know in your heart of hearts that something is not right, 100%. You want me to pray with you? Lift it up above your head. God bless you. Where I can see it. Don't be the last person. Lift it up above your head where I can see it and pray with you. God bless you. Lift it up very well. Don't be the last person. Lift it up. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus. You want a new life. Also, you want to drop a habit. You are tired of the past. You are tired of the past habits. You want a new life in Christ Jesus. You want to drop that old habit. You want a new life. Also, lift up your hands and I will pray with you. And your life will never, ever be the same again. Your life will never, ever be the same again. You will not be the same again. It's because of you that this meeting was set up. It's because of you this meeting was set up. Lift it up above your head. Don't be the last person. I'll be praying shortly. I'll be praying shortly. Also, you are watching us from anywhere in the world. You want to rededicate your life to Christ. Let us know through the email and the phone number on the screen that you are rededicating your life to Jesus. Now listen, coming to church does not mean one is born again. Coming to church does not mean one is saved. This is the most important, salvation. Salvation. Or you can also call it rededication to Christ. Lift it up above your head and I will be praying with you. And your life will never... Lift it up very well. Don't doubt. Don't doubt. If you are saved, you will know. Your heart will tell you as you are standing, you are saved. But if you are doubting it, then it's time to rededicate your life to Jesus. 2, I'll be giving you just 1 more minute and then we'll go into prayers. You want to rededicate your life to Jesus? You want to surrender to Christ? You don't want to withhold your life to yourself again. You want a new life in Christ Jesus. I want to pray with you. Lift it up above your head and then I'll pray with you just where you are. And then you'll be assessing the blessing of God. You'll be coming into this glorious family of Christ afresh. Lord Jesus, please forgive me. Please cleanse me from my past acts and wash me clean. As your son, as your daughter, I have come here tonight. Have mercy on me. Take me as your son, as your daughter. Thank you, Lord. Blessed be thy name. I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-78878 or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.org. I appreciate you.